Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. From 2016 to 2022, filmmakers Zuska Kurtz and Jeffrey Hugg documented six first-generation Bangladeshi immigrants from Hudson, New York, as they graduated high school and journeyed to colleges around the Northeast. The unexpected political and social events of those years propelled the students to confront anti-immigrant sentiments, the Me Too movement, forbidden love, and their parents' idea of the American dream.
The question you're asking me, it's a battle that I fought with her all the time. That I am getting to make these decisions when she never got to, when her mother never got to, when her mother never got to, when her mother never got to, and my father never got to, and his family never got to. We're born into these circumstances that we don't get to control. And sometimes they guide us and they bind us and we just don't get a choice. And like, despite the fact that I've grown up in the West, I most certainly was not raised here. This is not the culture I was raised in. This is the culture that I've been forced to kind of figure out a coexistence with. My family is not this way. And I don't have an answer.
The resulting documentary film is Hudson America, and it will screen at Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York on Saturday, February 4th at 4 p.m. A panel discussion will follow the screening. I am joined now by filmmaker Jeffrey Hugg and one of the featured students, Mahmouda Alam. Jeffrey and Mahmouda, welcome to the roundtable.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Happy to be here.
Jeffrey, let me begin with you. How did you and Zuska decide to make this film?
Well, I've done several movies with Zuska previously, and she always has like a really good nose for sniffing out something that like has legs and something that can kind of, that you can really dig into. And so she kind of organically ran into the Bangladesh community in Hudson. She met Ramisa, who's in the film first, and was completely kind of captivated by her and the other people she met. And through Ramisa, she was able to kind of put out almost a casting call. Really, that's what Ramisa did. She went to the high schools, sent out a casting call, and Mahmouda and Jahed and Sadiq and Sharmeen and Farzana answered. And then we just kind of got them together and started shooting and said, let's see what happens. And we ended up sticking with it for 7 years.
Mahmouda, how did you decide that you would participate in the film and talk about your private life, your personal life on camera?
None of us really knew what this project was going to be. I was just excited to take part and learn more about it and kind of see how it unfolded. I never expected it to, be documenting the better part of 7 years and that my life would take this path and that it would be so fun and interesting and that I would get to meet with so many people and work with Zuska and work with Jeff. But I'm excited for how it all played out.
Jeff, had you always planned to film for so many years?
No, it initially started, we started probably the end of 2015 and the 2016 election was coming up. So the idea was we'd do 2016 through 2020, which would coincide with the kids' college years, the college career, and then also a presidential cycle. Obviously, no one thought, or maybe a few people did, but nobody I knew thought that Trump was going to win. So that kind of threw unexpected elements into the discourse and the zeitgeist in which we were filming in. And then we kind of, as time went on with the pandemic and everything else, we kind of just kept in touch with them and kept filming, and things kept happening. So we ended up sort of extending it, and then just as it happened, finally put it to rest last year. And this is it coming out, which we're really, really excited for everyone in Hudson to see.
How did you decide to stop filming? How did you decide that you would wrap it up with everybody's events last year?
Well, we still could technically shoot some more. So who knows? It's like the age old thing. Like, when does an artist know when something's done? It's like tough to say. And a lot of times it is a sort of arbitrary decision. Everybody had graduated and everybody had sort of taken these different paths, as you'll see if you watch the film. So it seemed like a kind of natural ending point for the story. But then we also shot a bit of an epilogue as well, where the kids like watch the film and actually like react to it as audience members. So I guess we were happy with how it ended. We're happy with the different trajectories that all the kids had taken and where they all ended up, and the similarities and contrast between them all.
The students you follow are all, of course, incredibly unique personalities and individual people. How did you make sure that you told their individual stories and didn't lump an experience together?
That was a real challenge. I'd say like the number one challenge that we faced And a lot of it was really just listening. I mean, if you watch the film, you'll see the stories are in the participants' own words. We don't really cut them up. We don't really, you know, it's not so heavily edited. So we, you know, I think especially as we got to know them, we wanted to give them the freedom to feel comfortable with us, to speak their truths, to speak, you know, as candidly as possible. And at times it was quite surprising that they were more candid with us in these interviews at times than they even were with each other. They were kind of, it almost became like therapy sessions in a way, which is really beautiful for the film and really flattering just on a personal level.
Mahmouda, how soon did you feel comfortable talking about yourself and your life with the filmmakers?
I would say pretty early on. I mean, in the beginning, we did a lot of group interviews. And, you know, at that point, if a question was asked that was like, you know, how do you identify? And we're all going, you know, in a line. And the first person said that they identify like as Muslim, and then et cetera, everybody's kind of going off of that. So it's really hard at that point to kind of like think of it as anything other than like a competition, or just like as a, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Pretty quickly after that, we kind of did our own thing. We started doing individual interviews, and they're so intimate. Like it really is quiet. It's just you and you know, Zuska or Jeff, and there is like, you know, a film crew, there is cameras, but you forget about it so quickly. Like it really just, it just feels like a conversation. Like it really became about just what was happening, and it never felt coerced. And it was always very clear that anything that I said, that if I later didn't feel comfortable with it, like that, you know, I could ask to have that cut out. And knowing that I had some control, knowing that, you know, if I felt uncomfortable, unsafe, or unsatisfied in any way, that we would have an opportunity to do it again, or to change it, or to just, you know, omit it altogether. And that our comforts were always first priority. That really changed the game completely.
Could you share with the listening audience a summary of the journey you go on in the movie, what you're comfortable sharing without giving it all away? So then I can ask you how you and your family have reacted to the film. But first, since the listeners won't know what I'm asking about a reaction for, could you tell your story a little, please?
Absolutely. So, you know, it begins with, you know, us as a community and us as students and friends, you know, together. And I think the bulk of it is really being at school and kind of navigating that journey as I'm navigating adulthood and figuring out independence. You know, I was really desperate to branch out on my own and leave, you know, the safety and kind of restrictions of my community and my household and kind of navigate that on my own. And then it just happened that, you know, I fell in love and that she became a large part of my life and my story. And, you know, because she just happens to be a woman, that just had some added complications because of my community and my background and my religion, that, you know, gave it an edge. You know, as my life was progressing, there just happened to be someone documenting it and checking in along the way. And it continues on that front of how this relationship deals with these different things like the community and then just the greater things at large of the Me Too movement and of, you know, the election and just like other things, COVID, you know, school ending, graduation, like all these plans that we had for ourselves kind of being derailed and looking at what happened as a result of that and, you know, just moving on that journey.
What was your reaction to viewing the film? I know it's, again, we mentioned it's that Jeff mentioned that they do film you guys talking about it at the end, but tell me what your reaction was. And has your family seen the film yet?
So I had zero expectations for the documentary going in because I only knew what I had said. And even that was, you know, not in my memory at all times because we filmed so much in such little snippets or big snippets over years. Like you can't remember everything that you said. And, you know, honestly, sometimes I was most concerned with like if I was repeating an outfit.
Sure.
Like that was kind of at the forefront where we were doing a film. And I always knew that, you know, whatever questions they asked me, like I would just answer honestly. And so I was most excited and nervous to see what everyone else was going to say, because we just had this like unspoken agreement that like when we had these one-on-ones, even though we were meeting together at the same time to do the shoot, we didn't discuss what was happening inside of it, like behind these closed doors, like what were the questions, like we didn't talk about it. And so it was really exciting and nerve-wracking to see what everyone else was doing, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, and then also to see their responses to my personal journey. Because it's not like I was keeping my relationship a secret, but I wasn't also publicly like announcing it. And it was kind of, if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't. And so to have it really publicly opened and aired like that was a very nerve-wracking moment. And then in regards to my family, they have not seen it. They are aware that it's out. They are aware of what's in it. But, you know, because of it's a complicated situation and a complicated nature of the documentary. And so they're aware of it, but it's not really something that they are fully on board with.
How are you feeling about having a hometown screening of the film?
I think it's exciting. I think it's kind of scary as well. You know, I've grown up in this town. I was born here. I was raised here. I've gone to school with the same people. And you know, I go back from time to time to visit, but you know, you kind of outgrow a place. Like it's no longer the same place that you remember it to be in your youth. But I feel like when you go back home and you kind of revisit the relationships that you have with those people, it's different. It's kind of like stepping back into a different role in a different space. And you know, sharing this documentary and having it viewed by people who obviously their lives have moved on since high school or, you know, childhood, and mine has as well, to have those kind of moments converging is kind of exciting, but also it is scary. I'm interested to see what everyone will think and how they feel like I've changed, or, you know, what they feel like is different or the same, or if anything like that. I'm excited to see the responses, but I do feel some apprehension.
That's completely understandable. Jeff, how has the response to the film been at festivals where it has screened before this hometown screening?
It's been very positive. We premiered in LA at the Downtown LA Film Festival. And literally when, you know, the curtain, you know, whatever closed, or, you know, the credits were rolling, there was like a woman like audibly sobbing in the audience, and everybody kind of stopped, and the Q&A was supposed to begin, but she just went into this whole thing about she had never seen, you know, her story. She was a first generation immigrant herself, never seen it presented in such an honest way on screen before. So that was really beautiful. And then and in the same screen, there was another guy from Hudson, actually, which is shocking. He's a lifelong resident who said he'd lived there, still owns a house there, and never knew there was a Bangladeshi community there ever. So it's a real kind of like privilege to, like, you know, I guess shine a light and kind of profile an underrepresented community that, you know, even like lifelong residents might not have been aware of. We also played in Portland, and we had our New York City's premiere a few months ago. Mahmouda, a bunch of the kids were there. It was was massively well attended and got a great response. So we're really encouraged by the response we've gotten so far by a wide variety of audience members.
Hudson America will screen at Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York on February 4th at 4 p.m. To learn more, you can visit hudsonhall.org or hudsonamerica.org. Those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Jeffrey and Mahmouda, thank you for the film and for your time, and have a wonderful screening in Hudson.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Whether you're Bengali or from another part of the world, coming to another country, living a new life, it's not easy. And just live it, man. Live it.